Well, good morning and welcome to Millersville Bible Church. We're glad that you are joining us, whether it be in the morning or at some other point in the day. We're glad that you're joining us for our morning service today. We want to take the opportunity as we gather, prior to getting into the message, we want to be able to pray for another gospel preaching church in our area, as well as praying for the message. So this morning, I'm going to be praying for Calvary Church of Lancaster as we begin. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this day that you've blessed us with. Every day that we wake up and we have life and breath, we understand that it is a good gift from you. So thank you that we have the opportunity to gather, even though it might be electronically, that we're gathering, whether with family and friends or just by ourselves, that we can hear the word preached and we have an opportunity to respond to the challenge of your word. And Lord, as I present this, I am a mere man who is very flawed, but your word is perfect. So my prayer is people would not remember the messenger, but would remember the message. We also want to pray for Calvary Church this morning. We thank you for their faithful ministry in the Lancaster area for many, many years. Pray for their leadership and their staff, that you might grant them wisdom as they deal with this pandemic and how they should respond and what are the appropriate ways to minister to their people and when they can be getting back together. We just pray that you might provide them the necessary wisdom as we pray for ourselves. And we pray that their ministry would go forth and have a great impact here in Lancaster and around the world through their local ministries and their worldwide ministries. So, Lord, we just know that other churches are preaching the gospel, and we're not in competition with any of them. We are thankful that others are preaching the gospel, and wherever it goes forth in power, we pray that lives would be brought into a right relationship with you. And we pray that what takes place this morning would help with that as well. In Jesus' name, amen. For a little over 2.5 months, we've been dealing with a pandemic. This is kind of a hard pill to swallow for those of us here in the United States. After all, our nation believes itself to be a superpower. And our individuals believe themselves, mostly, to be autonomous and in control of their day-to-day lives. How hard of a pill is it to swallow to recognize that this enemy that has crippled the entire world's economy is so small that it can't even be seen with the naked eye? Maybe we would have thought that something like China and the nuclear weapons that are proliferating around the world, this would be our greatest threat. This would bring the world to its knees. Well, imagine that, something that can't even be seen with the naked eye and that man doesn't seem to have an answer for, at least at the present time, has brought us all low. So, is God in control? Can I trust God? And how do I live as a Christian in light of all of this? What about a cancer diagnosis, the death of a loved one, a bully at school, a lost job, an unfulfilling marriage? What about a significant failure that's actually my fault? What do we do with all these things? We ask again, is God in control? Can I trust God? And what do I do in light of all this? Where do I find wisdom to understand how I should live day to day? Is it the world? Can I turn to the world for wisdom? Well, that's not a great idea. Trusting this world to help you find meaning in life is like trusting a snake to babysit your gerbil. It's not going to end well. So what do we do? These are questions that we want to explore. We want to understand what it is that is happening and what we should do as a result. And if we're going to do that, we can't look to man's wisdom. We need to look to God's wisdom. So what do we need to know about God? Well, number one, he always does what is right. He always does what is right. This is how the Bible communicates God. There is not anything at any time in all of the existence of the universe and beyond in which God has not done everything right. Deuteronomy 32:3-4 says, I will proclaim the name of the Lord. Oh, praise the greatness of our God. He is the rock. His works are perfect, and all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong. Upright and just is he. This is how Moses, in the book of Deuteronomy, is explaining God. And as he has seen the events unfold around him, this is what he is writing. This is an anonymous quote, but a great one. Anxiety springs from the desire that things should happen as we wish rather than as God wills. And oftentimes, that's the case. We have individual desires. Somebody else has individual desires. They have individual desires. And we have 6-7 billion people on the planet, all who have their own individual desires. And we serve a God that has the numbers of our head, the numbers of our hairs on our head numbered, and that a sparrow doesn't fall to the ground without him knowing. And he is in control of all of these things. Just think about that when you're trying to deal with 7 billion different desires of people. We should be thankful that we have an omnipotent God that brings all of that chaos into order. And oftentimes we're going to say, it springs from the desire that we wanted something to happen a certain way, and that wasn't the way that God willed it to happen. So he always does what is right. Number two, he is always in control of all things. I hope you're getting a theme here is that, again, this type of always. There is no exception to this. He always does what is right. He always is always in control of all things. Lamentations 3:37-38 says, who can speak and have it happen if the Lord has not decreed it? Is it not from the mouth of the Most High that both calamities and good things come? And this is the difficult part for us, is that we want to attribute to God the good things that are happening in our lives. We don't have any problem to say, God brought us this good gift, whatever it might be. But when a difficulty comes into our life, we don't want to think that God has somehow brought that into our lives because that's not something that we're enjoying at the moment. It's not something that brings us immediate pleasure. It's something that is difficult, whatever that may be. But the reality is that God is in charge of all of these things. Augustine put it this way, nothing happens unless the omnipotent wills it to happen. He either permits it to happen or he himself brings it about. That is something that is so vital for us to understand. And it doesn't mean we're going to comprehend it or understand it, but this is how God communicates these things to us. This is one of the ways that you know that the Word of God, that the Bible is true. Because if you wanted to make up a religion, you would just say that God is always good and he always does what you perceive to be good. The difficult things, he doesn't know anything about. That's outside of his purview. He doesn't know what to do about that. But that's not how the Bible communicates. God is sovereign over all of these things. He is in control of all things. And the third thing that we need to know is he always does what is best for his children. He always does what is best for his children. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." So you might be thinking, what do you mean by good? Well, it doesn't mean that it's going to always work out the way you want it to work out, that all the details are going to go as you wanted them to go. And it might be take a different road and attack all different than what you had planned. God works things all out for the ultimate spiritual good of all of his children. That is his promise, and because he is sovereign, because he is in control, he has the power and the capacity to bring all of that about. Now, I brought along with me today this box here. And inside this box, I'm not sure if you can see it, there's dirt inside of the box. And what I brought along with me is this worm. This is Fred. He's from my neighborhood. And Fred has taken it upon himself. I'm just going to set Fred back over here. Fred's taken it upon himself to be my defender in the neighborhood. This is not something that I specifically asked Fred to do, but Fred said he is going to take on the task of being my defender in the neighborhood. Well, Fred was told, I told him that in the backyard, I'm going to do some gardening, and I'd always wanted the backyard to be a little bit flatter, so there's going to be some work done back there. And I didn't tell him any more than that, because as you can imagine, as a worm, he can't understand much more than that. So the one day, I start marking out the areas for my garden, and I get the tiller out. And the tiller is disrupting all of the soil where his friends and relatives live. And so Fred, he doesn't come and consult me about that. And honestly, how could Fred understand a tiller? How could he understand all the plants and vegetables I want to grow? So he goes to his friends and relatives, and he wants to defend me. And so he says, "Eric would like for there not to be any of these things going on, this machinery and the other things, but he's not strong enough to control them. He has no control over that." But then, you know, his friends and relatives don't find that all that comforting. So on his next, when he heads to the next group of people, he tries a different tact. He said, "Well, he can control all these things." Now Fred is upset with me because I've disrupted all of these things for his friends and his relatives. And so he's upset with me. By the time he gets to the next group of people, he tells them, he says that Eric can control that machinery and that stuff, but he's just not good. He just does not like us. Well, the reason that I even give you this illustration about Fred the Worm is that, honestly, we're not too much different than Fred. Is that unless we are anchored to the very words of God, the written revelation that he's given us until he returns, that explains what it is that we are capable of understanding until he returns, we're going to get it all wrong. So when things happen in our lives, and I start to defend God outside of the word of God, the instructions that he's given us, and I start to say that difficulty you've had in your life is that God wanted to help, but he's not strong enough. He's not able to. But he really feels bad about it. And he wanted to help. He just can't. Or then I go to another people and say that, or my other thing, after I get upset, maybe I get upset with God because of the things he's doing, and I just say, he is strong enough to make a difference. He just doesn't care enough about me to do it. Either way, I have made a mockery of who God is. So we have a lot more in common, and there's probably a far greater distance between what Fred understands about me and what I can fully comprehend about God. The God who spoke the universe into existence, that had made me from dust, made dust, And that he created everything that we see with the speech of his voice. And he knows the thoughts of every single person on planet Earth that has ever lived and whoever will live. And I'm trying to say, I know how things should go better than you do, Lord. And so let me tell you how it should go. So in many ways, I'm not different than Fred the Worm. I have no comprehension, but something disrupts my life and I don't understand it. Rather than going to God's word and saying, Lord, I'm turning this over to you, I start making up things that come into my finite mind as to how I can explain this. Sometimes we have to recognize that there are no reasonable explanations that we can give to people other than that God is sovereign, he's in control. And ultimately we have to recognize what is said here in Isaiah 55, 8 through 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God cannot even explain to us why he's doing a certain thing because we don't have the comprehension to know how it fits into his glorious plan. Our minds are not capable of it. And so there must be something else that we must do. Well, the thing that Scripture communicates over and over again is that we serve an all-powerful God and we serve an all-good God. The world wants to separate those two because they can't understand necessarily. We can't fully understand what God is doing. Scripture tells us that. But we do know this is what is communicated over and over. He is all powerful and he is all good. Those are the things we have to grasp onto, as well as this next part. If you don't remember anything else, remember this. Not why, but who. So maybe you're asking questions over and over again, and you want to know the answer why. We might not know an answer why this side of heaven. And I actually thought this week, maybe in heaven we won't know the answer to all the questions that we have about why a certain thing happened. The ultimate thing that we need to recognize is who. Who is in control? Who has my life in his hands? Who says that all things will work out for my ultimate good? That's what I have to recognize. Isn't this what, if you wanted to summarize the whole book of Job, you could summarize it this way. Job didn't need to understand why. He needed to understand who. And the same is with us. With things that are beyond our ability to understand, are we going to trust God and say, Lord, my life is in your hands. You are the one who gave me life and breath and everything else. Do with me what you will. Can the clay pot say to the potter, why did you make me this way? God's ways are beyond us finding out. He has given us the important things that we can comprehend, what we can understand, and how we should live in his word. But there are going to be circumstances and events, whether it be a pandemic, whether it be we went through this list of things, whether it be a cancer or a death or racial injustice. We could go on and talk about things that we don't fully comprehend. Why is God allowing it? God has his purposes in some ways. You know, he tells us in his word certain things and it gives us insight to these things. But if we want to know about exact circumstances, we're going to be spinning our wheels. So if you take anything, if you could only take one thing away from this message, take that away. We ultimately might not know why something is happening, but we know who. And all of us are going to face adversity in our lives. All of us. So we need to understand what direction are we going to go with it? How are we going to understand it in our lives? How are we going to understand it in a sense in the lives of others around us? So what is our response in light of God being totally in control of all things? That he is He is always good, and he always has our best interest in mind. Number one, trust God with everything. Trust God with everything. That was the verse that was at the top of your notes from Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Jerry Bridges said, obeying God is worked out within well-defined boundaries of God's revealed will. Trusting God is worked out in the arena that has no boundaries. It's a very good quote. Because when you're told to obey God, here are the things you need to obey God with. And we have them listed out in Scripture. And so in one sense, obeying God has these boundaries. We know immediately whether or not we have obeyed or disobeyed most often. But with trusting God, there's areas that we don't understand. Things that are not based on whether or not we have been obedient or whatever it might be. We don't know that how God is going to bring this about. What good is he going to bring out of this? It might not be in our minds to be able to comprehend how anything good could come out of it. And yet God has promised it so. So are we going to trust him? But those boundaries are out there that we don't even know when something maybe has ended. When we've obeyed, we've obeyed. If we've disobeyed, we understand that. But when we're trusting God, how do we know when that particular thing has come to a conclusion? Maybe we've only gone past one step of it, and there's a whole other group of steps after that. We still have to trust him, knowing that he always has our best interest in mind. So the second response is give thanks in all circumstances. I mean, that's just 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says it that plainly. Give thanks in all circumstances. And again, that word all there. So whatever you're, and it may be difficult. And that's what I'm going to share with you a little bit here. This is a photograph from inside Birkenau, which was a women's concentration camp during World War II. I wanted to give you a photo because I wanted you to see what it looks like, the bleak conditions. Each one of those, between those slats, you've got three women that are sleeping on just one board that's there. It's frozen during the winter time, and there are fleas that have they've just ransacked this whole place. And some of you are familiar with Corrie ten Boom and her sister Betsy. And they were both in this particular women's concentration camp. And I'm going to read the quote from you first, because this is what happened when Betsy went on to pray one day. "Thank you," Betsy went on serenely, "for the fleas." And for the fleas? That was too much. "Betsy, there is no way even God can make me grateful for a flea." "Give thanks in all circumstances," she quoted. It doesn't say in pleasant circumstances. "Fleas are part of this place where God has put us." And so we stood between piers of bunks and gave thanks for fleas. But this time, I was sure Betsy was wrong. Well, if you know further into the story, what Corrie comes to recognize is that what God sometimes does for us is that he gives us insight into why. Not always, but sometimes he gives us insight to why. And it wasn't too much later that they realized that the guards who were sadistic, and you can just imagine what it was like in Nazi Germany in a concentration camp in these guards. Well, when the fleas came and they were everywhere in this barracks, yes, it was an irritant, but guess what? The guards didn't come to the barracks anymore. They were free from the tyranny of these guards for most of the day because the guards didn't want to go anywhere near the fleas. So Corrie later just recognizes that my sister was right. The fleas actually were a great blessing from God. So what are those types of things in your life, in my life, that we see as annoyances, or they're things that we, again, we're not sure. It makes it hard to say, how can I give thanks for this? But Betsy is right when she says, it doesn't say just give thanks in pleasant circumstances. Give thanks in all circumstances. And it's not based on just, I've got this happy feeling about something. The giving thanks is that, Lord, I am in desperation. I am discouraged. I don't even know where else to turn, but I'm going to trust you. That's the only thing that we can do, is to look up. There is no alternative. The world has nothing to provide that is going to... They come up with some elixirs that they're going to try to divert your attention from difficulties, but it has no real answers. All the real answers are from God. And three, leave a legacy of faithfulness. Leave a legacy of faithfulness. I'm not going to read through all of from Hebrews 11, but when you have opportunity, you can go ahead and read through that. But did you ever consider that maybe your life and the difficulties you're facing are meant to be an example for countless others? If you were to ask Corey and Betsy whether or not they thought in 2020 people would be talking about them and the legacy they left, they would probably have laughed and thought, who would care about our lives? What about Joseph? From the time that his brother sold him into slavery to Potiphar's house until he was removed from prison is approximately 13 years. I think about the little over 2 months that we've been dealing with this pandemic. Think about Joseph having a life here for 13 years in which that's not what he had planned for those years of his life. That's not what his goal was. And after doing the right thing, get this, after doing the right thing, he's put in prison. Wait, this can't be your plan, God. That's not how I envisioned it. That's not how I wanted things to work out. We have a neighbor across our street who was in a Vietnamese prison camp for 7 years because of his faith. Those are difficult things. And if people are going to ask me, why did God do that? I don't have answers for those questions. I have the answer in God that he is in control and that ultimately this life is intended to be preparation for what we're going to experience in heaven. I mean, in that our relationship is meant to be sanctified more and more so that we be conformed to the likeness of his son. Why difficulties like that come into our lives? I don't know. Richard Wurmbrand from Voice of the Martyrs, he was in a Romanian prison camp for 14 years and tortured mercilessly. Why did Saul hound David and try to kill him when David was already told he was going to be the next king of Israel? And David's got to be thinking at some point in his life, this is not how I planned it all working out. I thought there would be just a nice transition. Saul would retire and I would take over. I don't know how he thought it was going to happen, but he certainly didn't think that Saul was going to try to relentlessly kill him. What about Hosea in relation to his marriage with Gomer? Talk about a difficult marriage, and yet this is God's will. The Apostle Paul tells us, 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. Is that what Paul said? You know, I can't wait for those things to happen. No, I mean, do you think that Paul felt any less pain because he could trust in God? No, he felt pain and anguish and the stench of death he talks about. Why? All those things? Were all those things necessary for Paul? The only thing I can say is yes, because that's what God brought about. Why? I don't have an answer to that. That's not for me to answer. What about those heroes of the faith in Hebrews 11? 11 of the 12 disciples of Jesus were martyred. So, there's going to be adversity in this life. But where are you going to turn? And what are you going to do as a result? Well, this is how many people look at all of this. What they do is they'll sit down at this desk or sit down at a desk and they'll write down all the things that they want God to do. And they write it down and they'll start keep going, keeping a tab, and they've got all this page. And then what they do is they slide it across the desk to God and they say, just go ahead and sign the bottom there. Can you just sign the bottom? These are all the things that I would like to do for you, and this is how I would like it to all work out. Could you go ahead and just sign the bottom? That is the totally incorrect way of looking at our lives. Rather, it should be handing God a blank piece of paper, handing him a blank piece of paper, but prior to it, what we do is we sign the bottom first. Put our name on the contract, sign it, and the rest is blank, and we send it over to God and say, God, you fill in the rest. That's the only way that we are going to be certain that we are doing what ultimately God wants us to do. We have to say, Lord, here's my name, here's my life, you fill in the rest. Help me to be what we talked about last week. Help me to treasure you above all else. Help me to obey you in all things, and help me to persevere under trial. That you might be glorified, Lord. You are the only trustworthy source I can go to. You are the only trustworthy source for all people at all times throughout the entire existence of this world. May we lean into you with everything we have. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for our time together this morning. And we do pray, Lord, that our hearts would be drawn to you, that our lives would be so intertwined with your commands, with your glory, with willing to do whatever it is for you, that we step into your presence one day and hear you say, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into your rest. Certainly, Lord, we can look around this world for answers, and there's no shortage of people trying to provide us answers. But ultimately, Lord, we don't need to know why. Sometimes you are gracious enough to provide the why, and thank you for that. But also, many times, you don't provide a why, and then we just need to know who. That it's you, Lord, that you are the all-powerful God, the all-good God, who always brings things about for the benefit of your children, the ultimate good of your children. So may we serve you wholeheartedly in all things for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.